The following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE show. Tonight we're going to have a little fun, kind of starting the first of a three-part series. We're going to debate the top 10 male players of all time for Survivor, and they don't have to be winners. If you think there's somebody that should hit that top 10 that never actually won the crown, that's fine. We're going to open it up for a discussion and a debate, and later in the night, we will we'll have people vote their top 10, and I'll do what Jeff does. I'll tally the votes, and we'll come up with a top 10 of all time on our male players. Like I said, this is kind of a three-part series. Next week, we will do the females, and the week after that, we will do seasons. So do your homework. Go back and watch some of the females for next week. And then for the following week, we're going to debate a pretty hot topic as to which were the best seasons of all time. So tonight it's the men. We kick it off with them. There's been more male winners, so we're going to start there. Steve, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You know, I've been taking a few notes after searching through some of the past men that have played the game, and I got to tell you, I'm having a pretty tough time trying to narrow down who I believe would be in my top 10. I mean, there's quite a few names I've already bounced around.
Yeah, I think most people are going to kind of agree on maybe the top four or five, maybe in not the exact order of each other, but probably the same guys are going to be in people's top four or five. But when you go 6 through 10, it gets kind of murky, you know. And we'll debate it. We'll talk about why this person or why not that person, or you know, we want everyone to give their own thoughts and their own opinions. And you, who knows, you may sway somebody's opinion one way or the other. So should be a fun night.
And we do have JB and okay. We have JB and Melissa on the line with us so far.
Okay.
And I assume we're probably
another thing I want to mention. Luckily, we survived another year of Steve having a birthday party. So we survived it. He survived it.
Yeah, luckily I was able to get to Lou. I remembered his phone number, so I was able to get to him and tell him, there's no podcast tonight, so don't try calling in because
because we did a Thursday pod last week, we did a Friday pod last week, and I remember you telling me, you know, I'm probably not going to do the sports thing on Saturday night, and you told me why. And then I was like, well, you know, I don't want to do three damn straight, so we just won't have one.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, Jim. That was a nice little bottle of tequila there. Or not tequila, whiskey. So,
I did see the Fireball label.
Yeah, it was
Jack Daniel's Fireball?
Yes, Jack Daniel's Fire, I think.
I will look because he sent me a text with it. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think it was Jack Daniel's Fireball.
I'll tell you one thing, it's a lot better than regular Fireball because it doesn't have that syrupy taste. That makes it hard to go down.
Well, you know, Jack Daniel's been around for a long time. I mean, that's what most Southerners were raised on was Jack Daniel's.
He didn't send it to me. All he says is Tennessee Fire Whiskey.
Well, that's Jack Daniel's. If he said Tennessee, that's Jack Daniel's. That's where they blew it at.
Yeah, that's
Lynchburg.
Yeah. It was definitely Jack Daniel's. Yeah.
Yeah. JB, how you doing?
Needless to say, I had a happy night.
Yeah. JB, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I have a doctor's appointment for Wednesday. So we're going to see, how it comes out and everything like that.
Okay. Melissa, you doing okay?
Yeah, I guess I'm okay. Doing better than
you
I was.
See, Melissa, you see, I posted in Big Brother Whispers the premiere date for Big Brother, so you kind of know how to start planning for your podcast.
Yep. Hang on. You know, I haven't been to Facebook in a couple of days, so
yeah, they
probably missed it.
They announced the premiere date, the move-in date.
Okay. Okay.
That and Love Island. Love Island's returning too.
Okay.
So, but tonight we're gonna talk Survivor and the best male players of all time. Should be a nice little debate. It's just opinions. You know, nobody's right, nobody's wrong. You know, and at the end of the night, we'll come up with a list, and it will be kind of a cumulative list of whispers, you know, and what we think. So it should be fun. I even jotted down a few names of people who did not win that people may want to consider. And then when I looked at the winners, I looked at the male winners, there were some that just jumped right out that was like, I'm not even going to consider you. And, that's how it is, you know. I'm sure everybody's going to want to talk Tony and Rob. That's kind of the big two names, maybe Richard Hatch. And then after that, maybe, I don't know, Cochran. It kind of, you know, like you get through those first three, like I was telling Steve earlier, you get through those first three, four, five names, and then it gets tough. You know, it's like, how do you decide which one of these 6 through 10 were the best? What kind of criteria are you going to look at, JB?
Well, I listed mine just like from the seasons. I didn't list them from my top 10. I didn't really, you know, put a number on each one. I just listed them by seasons. So I don't really know which one, you know, I would actually put as, my best.
Yeah. JB, is it kind of like I said, there's probably 3 or 4 that really stand out, and then it gets kind of tough.
I guess that's why I just listed them, my top 10, and my top 10, I didn't really put a number by number one or anything like that. Another thing I want to add, I called Eddie. Eddie said he would probably call around 9:30-ish.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure he'll have his thoughts ready by then. Another question for you, JB, when you were considering it, did you give any consideration to players that didn't win?
No, not really. I was just looking at the season overall, I guess.
Okay. That's kind of a little mini debate in itself. When you're considering the greatest players of all time on Survivor, should you consider people who did not win? Perfect case is on the ladies with Cerie. How can you not consider her at least to be top 10?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'll throw a few names out there real quick on guys that didn't win. You got Coach, Malcolm, Colby, Joe, Rob C., Spencer, Fishbach, Rupert, Dom, Ozzy, Wu. You got some pretty good guys that got close, but they just didn't win. So it depends on what you're looking for. Are you wanting your list to be all winners, top 10 winners, or is there somebody that can sneak in that didn't win? Melissa, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think players that didn't win should at least be in consideration?
Yes, I do. Because, you know, I don't know. When I look at my top guys, not all of them are winners.
Okay. Yeah. Especially after you think the first, like I said, like after you think the first four or five, six through ten, you might could have some people slip in there that didn't win, but they were hell of players. You know, they were great. I think it'll be more so with the women than it will be the men. But I just named you a whole list of just an example of some guys that should probably be considered, you know. If you go back far enough, even Ian Rosenberger was somebody you might want to consider. It makes for a great debate, really, really great debate. That's what we're going to do tonight. As soon as we get some more people on here, I'm pretty sure Teresa's going to call.
We got Tim in the chat room right now too. So I told him to feel free to give his thoughts throughout the night about certain players that may or may not have or may or may not deserve to be in the top 10, along with his own list. If he ends up, hopefully he ends up calling in by the end of the night. But if not, you know, provide his top 10 list.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start to open it up. I'm gonna read off some names here to you, and that should be in consideration. You got Tommy. You got Wendell, Ethan, Ben, Tom Westman, Aris, Ewell, Bob Crawley. Ben, did I say Ben?
Yeah.
Ben. Judd, you know, Fabio, Adam and Nick, JT, Cochran, Chris Daughtry, Chris Underwood, Mike Holloway, the original, Richard Hatch, Tony, Rob, Earl, Jeremy, Todd, and Tyson. Now, those are champions. So, Steve, your thoughts on that list, you know, before we consider people that didn't win? I'll tell you, one of the first ones jumps off the page that I don't think should be considered is Chris Underwood.
Oh, definitely. If you spend, I'm sorry, maybe he's a victim of the twist. I forget what twist he was even a part of. That shows how much I hate it.
Edge of Extinction.
You know, Edge of Extinction. Thank you, JB. Just the fact that, you know, you can be on the edge of extinction for pretty much the entire season and come in and end up miraculously winning the game. I'm sorry, that you didn't really play the game. I mean, you got voted out to begin with because you couldn't read your own tribe. So,
right.
if anything,
you know that,
I think
that,
Underwood
that,
should be.
You know, and that's the, when we get to the ladies next week, that kind of really split the Natalie Anderson fans. The ones that are so gung-ho and love her to death, they say, well, hey, look how long she survived out there. And then the other people are saying what you're saying right now about Chris Underwood. Yeah, but you weren't in the game.
Yeah, and I think another thing, though, to when it comes to Natalie, if people are going to consider her to be one of the top 10 Survivor females who have ever played the game, you also have to take a look at how she did and what she did in her original season, too. I think, you know, when we're analyzing all these players, we got to take into consideration every season that they played. I mean,
right.
Like say Russell Hance, for example, you know, a lot of people believe that he should have won Samoa, but obviously because of a bitter jury and the fact that he cannot manage a jury worth a shit, you know, he basically got robbed that season. Obviously he made the finals in Heroes versus Villains, but then he was an early boot in Redemption Island. So, you know, you got to take everything into consideration, you know,
Then he was the first boot in Australia wearing a immunity necklace.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of things that you have to take into consideration. The longevity of each of their seasons that they played, the certain moves that maybe they made during specific seasons, you know, whether they're a winner or not, maybe that might play a factor. If they were entertaining, that could potentially play a factor as well. You know, there's so many variables to juggle here.
What about someone that didn't win but played good and pretty much mentored two other players who went on to win? Do they get credit for that? And I'm speaking about Coach with Tyson and Cochran. He pretty much mentored them and got them there.
You know, I would kind of say yes. I think that might play into people's decisions. You know, the fact that he technically produced two winners himself in Tyson and Cochran. But also, you know, Coach as a player was, even though he didn't win, a lot of people believe he should have won South Pacific.
He even
stated it on the Survivor Memories podcast that we had with him and Albert.
He's very vocal about that, and I can tell you he's still pretty bitter about it. And to this day, he still doesn't care a whole lot about Sophie. I know when Sophie was on Winners at War, he's kind of different because he'll say, He knows I know information. He'll say, all right, now don't tell me anything. And then he'll say, just tell me how far Sophie went. Tell me she didn't win.
I can tell you for sure, Coach is definitely a lock in my top 10. I think just even though he didn't win, just the entertainment value that he brought, the fact that he was able to essentially dominate two seasons with a dominant alliance, you know, that with Token Jeans and with South Pacific, you know, even though he didn't win, he's played pretty much a pretty strong Survivor game to be in consideration for the top 10.
And you brought up another good point right there. How much emphasis do we place on entertainment? Because, I mean, there's seasons we see somebody win and we're like, man, that was boring. They're boring. That ruins the whole season. How much emphasis do you put on entertainment? I mean, we know from the Whisper games. That's one of the reasons people liked it when I played, because they said it was so entertaining. I was always doing stuff. How much does that play in, Melissa, when you're thinking about best players? Do you consider entertainment value?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I actually look at their entertainment value more than I do their, like, I don't know. I'm just one of those that I'm not concentrated on, oh, who's the best strategist? Who's the best, you know, this, that, and the other. The entertainment plays a big part with me anyway.
Okay. JD, what about you? Do you consider entertainment value, or you just go strictly by the outcome?
I go more by entertainment value than I do the outcome. But
okay.
Then again, I kind of, if one person, you know, has a good entertainment value and he makes it to the end, you know, he's going to be up there on the list, you know, if I had a list. And unfortunately, one thing I didn't do is write down names of male and female who I thought didn't play that were good and didn't play that were of good entertainment value, and the same for you know, the men too.
Yeah.
And also I look at the overall season that they played.
Okay.
If they played on a good season, they're going to go up further.
Okay. What about, and this is the question that always comes up with Boston Rob, look how many times he's gotten to play. Do you consider that? Do you knock him down a notch because he's gotten so many chances and he's only got one win? Do you give him credit for Amber's win? How do you view that, Steve? And as far as entertainment value, he's very entertaining.
Well, right now I always have considered All-Stars to be a win for Rob, even though technically Amber won with the votes.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, there is that big discussion of, well, he didn't get the votes. Amber was the one that got the votes. Amber got the jury to like her. The jury only voted for her because they hated Rob.
Right,
because they hated
right.
how he played and how he deceived them. And by the way, Teresa, you have
and
been
if you look back at it,
the call.
Basically, he was playing for her first and him second, and that's how it turned out.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that, granted, yeah, it took him another three seasons before he, or wait, was it? No, it took him another two seasons before he ended up winning on his own. Granted, it was with a gift-wrapped tribe full of, that were completely starstruck by him.
Right.
He still had
true.
He still had one of the most dominant seasons of any male winner. So,
right.
He created the buddy system. He created the buddy system.
They don't call him the Rob Father
for nothing.
Yeah, the thing is, he not only had the females stay loyal, he had the guys stay loyal.
Yeah.
You know, Grant and Phillip did anything he wanted done.
Yeah, that's very difficult to do, too.
Yeah.
To get guys to stay loyal, especially considering the fact that egos will eventually clash, and for him to be able to keep everybody in line like he did, I mean, that right there, granted, yeah, his win was considered, you know, maybe one of the biggest one of the biggest gifts from Survivor producers to a contestant ever. But
yeah, but you still got to give him credit because he carried it through. You can screw it up.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and this brings up another interesting point because of how he led his tribe, because his tribe would not even eat until he said it was okay to eat. And if the other tribe wanted to share something with them, food-wise or something, Rob wouldn't allow it. He wouldn't let his people have it. He didn't want no connection with the other tribe. And everybody did what he said.
Yep.
So the question, Melissa, is how much does leadership play into this?
I think it plays a lot. Rob is my favorite. He would be my number one guy. Are you guys still there? Oh, no.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I am.
I think he's my favorite so far.
Okay.
Hi, Melissa.
You know, you know what? In the first season he was in, I couldn't stand him. But when he, you know, second and third, oh, my gosh. I mean, and I don't know if it's because I fell in love with the way that he fell in love with Amber or
yeah,
what
that
it was that made
special.
The turn.
That was pretty
but
special.
But the thing, yeah, I love him. So he's my number one guy. I like him.
All right. Did I hear Teresa?
Yes,
yep,
sir.
She's on.
Teresa, we're discussing different attributes about what would lead you to rank someone where they are. And we've talked entertainment value. We've talked did they have to win or are there some players that didn't win that should be considered? And now we're talking leadership value. So what's your thoughts on all of those different attributes?
Well, to kind of go on what he's talking about, Rob, I mean, the only thing I would have to say with any of his Survivor seasons, I mean, I loved how he basically hugged Jeff after the family visit when all his kids got to come. And
Hang on, we lost Jim for a second here. Going to try to get him back on here.
Okay.
Oh, the dog's yelling for Jim. Yeah, the dog's yelling for Jim. He's going, Jim. I can, yeah.
Oh, well,
hang on. But continue on with what you were saying.
Okay,
oh, wait, here we go. He's back. He's back now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Jim.
I had two more calls come in, and I tried to decline them. I must have pushed the wrong button or something and got disconnected.
Uh-oh.
they can wait for later. They should have called earlier. Most everybody knows what I do on Thursday night. So, So, Teresa, I may not have heard, would you consider people that didn't win?
Yeah, I would consider a few people that didn't win. And like you said before with Rob, the one question I would have on that, and this could give you even something to think about, out of the four people who voted for Amber to win, when it came to it, out of those four, why Amber chose Shianne to get the car over the other three?
Okay.
But anywho, some that I would have to say as far as not winning, Rupert, obviously, because he did a lot of good, you know, he was pretty good. Terry Dietz, of course. And then Dominic from Ghost Island. And then my two personal favorites, Colby and Matt from Redemption Island.
Okay. Here's some other names I mentioned earlier. Coach, Malcolm, Colby, Joe, Spencer, Rob C., Fishbach, Rupert, Dom, Wu, Ozzy, Terry, Ian, and Matt. So there's a lot of good players that just they just fell a little short and they didn't win.
Yeah, that in fact, I was talking about Terry D. Can't remember if it was on Whispers or another page, but it was made. It was a comment that was made that Terry Dietz's loss was the reason why they went to Final Three versus Final Two.
That's a whole other debate. I really am not a fan of Final Three. I like Final Two. I've always said that in our Whispers games. Out of all our games we've ever had, the only time we had a Final Three was when I was playing and JJ and Lisa were hosting, and it came down to me and Dude and Cutie, and we got rid of my son, and it was going to be me and Cutie, and then JJ decided, no, this deserves a Final Three. All three of you need to go to the finals. That's the only time we ever did that in our Whispers games. Every other season we did was a Final Two.
Well, it's almost like a throwaway thing anyway, because the third person maybe will get one vote.
Yeah, normally they don't get any. You know, normally they don't get any. I just like the final showdown. I just like a final showdown between two people, you know. I think that's, I don't know, I just prefer that. I think that's how it should be. When you have the finals of the, you know, the NFL, the Super Bowl, it's two teams. World Series, two teams. NBA, two teams. You know, it's, tennis, it comes down to two people. So I always preferred a Final Two. I don't know why they changed it. I'm sure they had their reasons, and I guess they obviously like it because they're sticking with it. But I think I probably missed what you said about entertainment value, Teresa. How much does that play into your thoughts about the best players of all time?
Well, Coach definitely was one with entertainment. And although Russell Hans makes my skin crawl, he's at least entertaining.
To some. I'll tell you another player that we failed to mention so far as entertainment value was Penner. Every season he competed, he was entertaining.
He's one of my top ten. Yeah.
Yeah. And another player that had a lot of success that never won was James Clement.
Yeah.
Yep. Mhm. He's in my top
five. Yeah, from China.
You know, I think if you consider everything, if you consider everything with an open mind, you consider their record, You consider leadership. You consider entertainment value. You consider how much they had an effect on other players that went on to do well, you know, sort of like mentoring them. Becomes tough, like I keep saying, after about the first four or five, 6 through 10 is going to get pretty tough.
Yeah, there's a lot of options, and actually I've already shifted around a few people just based off of
I haven't even wrote down a list yet. I know who my top three are going to be, but that's all I know for right now.
And I would say Ozzy was pretty good, too.
Yeah, I mentioned Ozzy. I mentioned Ozzy as one of the ones that didn't win. He's kind of in the class with, you consider Ozzy, Joe, and Malcolm. They're all like the same.
Yeah, I love Malcolm.
One of the things, things that I look at with Ozzy is, now granted, was he part of Game Changers? What season was he? Was he a part of that had Haley as the
What season was it? They had to vote him out three times.
That was South Pacific. One of them, he did voluntarily.
Yeah.
And yeah, that it was Game Changers.
I understand Ozzy's kind of like a really true survivor. He could really probably survive out there if he needed to. He really could. But as far as the games, you know, playing the game survivor, he's one of those that, and I put Malcolm in this, he's one of those I think Jeff really looked after and kind of gave extra chances, maybe.
Gave him extra chances they were actually so good that they kept getting voted off because they were good. And that's probably why they were given so many chances because, you know.
Well, I mean so many, I don't mean with seasons. I mean so many chances within the same season.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, how many times do we have to vote you out before Jeff don't figure a way to bring you back?
And another thing, too, with Ozzy is the fact that in Micronesia, he was actually in a dominant position before he got blindsided. You know, that was when Parvati and Siri decided to form the Black Widow Alliance.
Yeah. Well, Ozzy was never known for strategy.
No.
He was known for providing for the camp. He was known for being great in challenges, great in the water, and he was known for being a flirt. He was never known for using much strategy. If he would have had Richard Hatch's mind or Austin Robb's mind, he would have won.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had everything else. He had all the other skills. He just didn't have the mindset to be a strategist and figure out how to get there, you know?
Hell, he was lucky to have even made the merge in Game Changers, his final season as of now.
Yeah.
The fact
another thing, though, you have to look at, Steve, is people like him, Malcolm, Joe, all these threats, you know, when they come back, there's going to be a target. And it's even harder for him. You know, it's even harder for him. That's why it was so amazing that Tony won Winners at War. It was like, did they not know?
Yeah, I'm sorry. If I have Tony out there as one of my opponents, I'm voting him off the very first chance I get. I'm sorry. If you let him get by those first couple of votes, he's just gonna play the once he gets those roots in, like Tyson mentioned on Winners at War, he's gonna build a home. You know,
right?
He's gonna officially burrow those roots in deep and basically take over the game, which
yeah.
is kind of what happened in Winners at War.
What were some reasons that you, when you were looking at doing this, what were some of the reasons that you cut people, Melissa? What went through your head as to why, okay, they're not going to make my list? What specifically was it?
Their annoyance. You know, there were some that I thought were too cocky. Some were too boring. Some just flew by the seat of their pants, got lucky. Those are the ones that let's just say John Cochran, for instance. Don't like him. Not necessarily, I mean, he's probably a really great guy. But on Survivor, he was just not my favorite.
Okay.
And I do
Don't
know
forget,
other people
though,
that say that Cochran...
Game.
Huh?
Don't forget, he played a perfect game. He's one of the two survivors, him and JT, to have played a perfect game, which is not getting a single vote cast against them the whole game and being the jury.
Well, that's hard to do.
Well,
I mean, seriously,
you know,
that is hard to do. That is
every single one of us, every single one of us are going to have different ones on our list.
Right. Oh, I agree. I'm just
uh-huh.
pointing out that as a feat, that's hard to do. It's hard to do not to even get a vote.
Yeah.
Well, like Ozzy was definitely one that was kind of lower on my list because he was cocky. And then the fact that, you know, he's like, oh, just go ahead and vote me out. I can get back into this game just very easily. So vote me out and I could do this. And then...
And he wasn't wrong.
Well, it didn't backfire on him exactly. It didn't backfire.
Yeah.
You know, he came right back
in. And then
in.
Kind of his speech at the end is like, oh, nobody here wants to vote for any of you. And
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
But that
JB,
doesn't mean I dislike Ozzy. I'm just saying that kind of you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When you're talking about
JB,
cockiness.
JB, what about you? What's a deal breaker to you? What could there be about a player where you say, no, you're not going to make my list?
Any kind of boring player. One that's, there have been some guys riding, you know, the coattails, you know, who are they? I don't know right offhand, but I know there have been some guys that rode some coattails, maybe not to the end, but, rode the coattails to, you know, even get to the merge and maybe a little bit further. But for me, I also go by wins as far as my brain is kind of farting out here. Oh, God. Just wait until you young people get as old as me. My God. Immunity or reward challenges. I go by a lot of guys that have, had a lot of immunity and reward challenges. And I also put in there, too, different factors on where they ended in the game. And, are they really, not eye candy, but are they really, TV people?
Yeah. You brought up another good point. There's so many different things to consider. Melissa, do you place much emphasis on how good certain people are in challenges? Does that matter to you?
Yeah, it does. I think that people that are really good at the challenges, they're entertaining, they laugh, they can laugh at themselves. I take all of that into consideration. And I also take and it really depends on the season, and I don't even know how to explain it. And yeah, usually you go by season, and I think, well, they're kind of lacking in the challenge department, but they're really good at strategy, or vice versa. They may not have strategy, like Ozzy. They may not have strategy, but they have a lot of, they're a lot of challenge, and they're cute, and that, that has a whole bunch of things going for them.
Steve, what about you? Do the challenges play much of a role in your top 10?
I mean, yes and no. It's more of a middle sort of thing. Like, you could be average at challenges. Like Cochran, for example. Cochran, let's face it, he was no good in the water whatsoever his first season. But, puzzles he excelled at. So you don't necessarily have to be the best challenge performer because, take a look at Tony. He didn't win any individual immunities his first go around in Cagayan, and he won over Wu in the finals. So you don't necessarily have to be a dominant challenge performer to be considered a top 10 player. If you can make up for that with your social and your strategic parts of your game.
Teresa, what about you? Do you place much emphasis on people that are good at challenges? Teresa, still here?
She's connected.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I had y'all on mute. But, there's a lot of things I take into consideration, like one of them being challenges. And I guess part of it, too, is I look if they're nice guys or not.
Jamie, what about you? Do challenges matter?
Oh, like I said, they do matter, and I also look at the overall picture also.
Now, Melissa brought up something, I think I heard her right. She brought up and said something about someone being cute. Do looks play into it at all?
Sometimes.
No.
Not for
me. With me, it does with me. If I think they're hot and they're really good at challenges, and maybe really good at strategy. Maybe they're super sweet. Maybe they're super nice. It just kind of all wraps up in a nice big package.
I sort of think what Melissa is saying in a big, long explanation that I'll break down pretty quickly is she likes stud muffins.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, those stud muffins. Yeah, baby.
You like the eye candy, Melissa.
Yeah.
Well,
I like eye candy, too.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, a lot of them get canned because of that, you know?
It's like,
well, I was going to say.
Come on, guys. Come on. Yeah.
If we were talking about the top 10 women,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. You missed it, Teresa, because you weren't on at the start. This is a three-part series. Tonight's males, next week is females, and then the following week is seasons. As far as looks go, I'll just tell you what JJ has asked me before. Jim, why does it seem like the hottest girls are the ones that talk to you?
Well, they're the ones he reaches out to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe they're the ones that like their ego stroked. I don't know. You know, you have to figure a way to get them talking, and I'm pretty good at it. So, but you know, it plays a part in casting. You know, they try to cast good-looking people, a good mix. But don't you really appreciate someone, a guy or a girl, that is really, really hot, but yet they get down and dirty and play the game? Don't you appreciate mm-hmm. them more?
Yeah, I can't remember who the girl was, but she was on Cairo. She seemed to, in spite of being on Survivor, in spite of all this, somehow she always had on makeup.
Well, they don't always have on makeup. I'll tell you a little secret. I think you ladies should know this. Andrea told me this because people were asking the first season she played, you know, after it's like 10, 15 days in, how the hell does it look like her makeup's still perfect? She said there is a type of makeup you can use that lasts longer. So, because I asked her that, and in fact, she posted under one of, well, our only dummy account at the time. It was a Missy AE dummy account. She was using one of my Facebook accounts to post in Whispers so people would know who she was, and she would answer questions, you know, as to what she thought, but actually she was answering to what she knew. And people kept asking that, and she replied that out in Whispers under my fake account to let people know maybe it's the brand of makeup because some last longer than the others. So just throwing that out there. I don't know anything about women's makeup, you know. I just know they take a long time to put it on.
And Natalie from Redemption Island, I mean, she was definitely a goat that season. She just basically, all she did was lay on the beach and look pretty.
Yeah, but we're going to get to them next week. We're going to concentrate on these dudes tonight. We're doing dudes this week, and we're doing cuties next week, so...
Well, I will say this. I mean, he wouldn't be in my top 10, but he would get an honorable mention, is Chris Daughtry, because of the fact that he was the only male out of probably at least six females, and he wins.
I think it was more than that. Wasn't it, Steve? Wasn't there like seven or eight females left with him?
I don't know the exact number, but he was pretty outnumbered. Like, he had a lot of people would think he would have as much of a chance of survival as a wing on your plate.
Right, right. But yet he pulled through and he won. And I mentioned his name. You know, I read off the list of guys in case anybody forgot anybody. I'm going to go over them again since Teresa may not have heard them. So the male winners, Tommy, Wendell, Ethan, Brian, Tom Westman, Aris, Ewell, Bob Crawley, Fabio, Ben, Adam and Nick, Cochran, JT, Mike Holloway, Chris Daughtry, Chris Underwood, Tony, Rob, Earl, Jeremy, Tyson, Todd, and Richard Hatch. So if you've forgotten anybody...
Did you mention Brian?
Yeah, I mentioned Brian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another thing to look at is how would these players do if they were to have played the same game on another season with different players? You know,
that matters. Who was in your cast? You know, that's kind of one of the knocks on Rob was the season he did win. It looked like a bunch of Rob fans in the cast, but I mean, that's not Rob's fault. I mean, you play the dealt, you play the hand you're dealt. You know.
He did it in a
dominant fashion where, well, like we said earlier, he had the girls and the guys doing anything he wanted and voting anyway. They did everything he said. And his opponent, Russell, couldn't get nobody to do nothing. You know, they throw challenges to get rid of him.
Yeah. And, Jim, it was six women, by the way. Starting with the third juror, Leanne, he was outnumbered 6-1 when there was seven left.
And he still won.
Yeah.
Still won. So, yeah, Therese, you're right. He should be considered because that was an impressive win because, I mean, my gosh, look how easy it would have been to get rid of him. You know, how easy would it have been for the girls to get rid of him?
And they didn't.
I think Melissa or JB mentioned this about some of them that just kind of rode coattails. The two I think of is Troy Zan from Game Changers. And Jarvis from Blood Versus Water.
Yeah. Is there anything, Melissa, have we left anything out that should be considered?
No, I think that we pretty much covered it. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Another one definitely for entertainment. If nothing else, was Philip Shepherd.
Yeah, but that was totally, totally just entertainment. That's all it was. I mean,
yeah, I think so too.
All he did was what Rob told him to do, and walk around in pink underwear. I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Solely entertainment.
Yeah. I don't think he'd be in the conversation. I think we've already listed a whole bunch of people that didn't win that probably should be considered. So we're an hour in. I guess it's time to maybe start picking apart list. Because we've got 1 hour left. Is there anybody that wants to go first? And the way I want you to do it, I want you to start at 10 and go up to 1. Is there any volunteers to go first?
I'll start first.
All right.
Considering we just talked about him, I actually removed Ozzy from my list and replaced him with Chris Daugherty, or however you say his name, Daugherty, Daugherty. It can't be ignored, the fact that he was able, despite playing the huge aggressive game that he did, and the fact that he was very brash towards the women and everything, and I mean, they said that he broke promises and abused relationships. The fact that he was able to be outnumbered 6-1 and yet still win the game, I mean, that right there can't even be ignored.
Okay.
So I've got him at number 10.
Okay. All right.
Number
9
I got.
And the way we're doing this is if you're number 10, you get 1 point. If you're number 1, you get 10. So I'm giving Chris Daugherty 1 point right now.
My number 9
is... Who is
the,
your number 9? Your number 9 gets 2 points.
My number 9 is the king of the meat shield strategy, Jeremy Collins.
Okay.
Number eight, I got Benjamin Coach Wade, because I still believe that he won South Pacific, and had his alliance pulled through in Tokenchines, he probably was going to be on his way to a win in Tokenchines as well, just based off of how he was able to control his tribe.
Okay. All right. What are you up to now? 8?
Number 7. Yeah, I'm on number 7 now. Yep.
Yeah. Coach got 3 points. You're on number 7 for 4 points.
7, I got Tyson.
Okay.
Probably one of the best characters that they've ever had. Happened to win a season, blood versus water. And granted, he got completely hoodwinked by Russell into voting himself out. He's still probably one of the more dominant challenge players, but also one of the more dominant strategic winners that the show has had.
Okay. All right. You're up to number 6.
Number 6 goes to the first winner of the perfect game, JT.
Okay. He gets 5 points.
And right next to him at number 5 is Cochran, the other perfect game winner.
Okay. He gets 6 points. All right. You've only got 4 left.
At number 4, I am going with Yul Kwan, also known as the Godfather from Cook Islands.
Okay, that's 7 points for Yul. You've got 3 left.
Now, this one, at least with number 2 and number 3, I kept switching back and forth. I settled on, after tonight's discussion in the first hour, I settled on Richard Hatch at number 3.
Okay. So Hatch gets 8 points. And that leaves
number 2
people left.
Number 2, I put Boston Rob, mainly because I still consider All-Stars to be a win for him, even though Amber technically won with the votes.
Okay, so that's 9 points for Rob. You're number 1. Who is your best male player of all time?
Hands down, Tony Blachos. If you can play as aggressive of a game as he played his first go-around, kind of screw up the second time, but yet shift your game the way that you did while yet still sort of playing aggressive against all winners, I mean, how do you not rank him the number 1 male of all time?
Okay. So there is Steve's list. He's got Tony, Rob, Richard Hatch, the original. He's got Yul Kwan, John Cochran, JT, Tyson, Coach, Jeremy, and Chris Daughtry. That's his 10 players.
Ben would have been on my list, but I dropped him because of the fact that the only reason why he won was because of production interference.
Okay. All right. Who wants to go second? JB, Teresa, Melissa?
I'll go second.
All right. Go ahead, JB. Who is your number 10?
Okay. My number 10 will be Colby.
Okay. Colby gets Donaldson. A vote. All right, Colby gets a point. All right. Number nine.
Number nine is Chris.
Chris
Gordon.
Daughtry. Chris Daughtry. Not Chris Underwood,
yeah.
Right? Okay. All right. So
no, Daughtry not Chris gets, Underwood.
Daughtry gets two. All right, your number eight player who will get 3 points.
Coach Wade.
Okay. He makes number eight on both JV and Steve's list. All right. Who is your number seven? They get 4 points.
Tyson Apostle.
Okay. And Steve had him at the same spot. Did you guys copy?
No.
Cut copy and paste. There you go. Blaming me for cut copy and then pasting.
What JB did was he actually erased my name this time instead of putting my name on there.
Okay, number six, JB, they get 5 points.
Earl Cole.
Okay. Someone that Steve didn't even have. Okay. All right. Number four, they get. Wait a minute. Are we on a four or five? What was Earl? Five or six?
I think Earl was five.
Okay. So number four gets 7 points.
Wait a minute.
Wait, no. Earl was six because his previous one was Tyson.
I gave him 5 points, so I thought he was six.
Okay. Anyway, let's see. Colby, Chris, Coach, Tyson, Earl, and my next one is JT.
Okay, so JT is number five, right?
JT is number one, two, three, four. Let's see.
He should be five.
I don't know. I didn't put a number by my name.
How many do you have left?
I have four guys left.
Okay, that's right, Tim. We're right. Okay. You're number four.
Penner.
Penner comes in with 7 big points. Okay. Number three.
I go Richard Hatch.
Okay, that's where Steve had him. Another 8 points for Hatch.
My number one and number two are the same as Steve.
You've got Rob next. Okay.
And then Tony, number one.
Okay. All right. Who wants to go next, Teresa or Melissa?
I'll go next.
All right, Teresa, give me your number 10.
Okay, let me find where I put it. Terry Dietz.
Terry Dietz comes in with a point, okay? Number nine.
Tyson.
Okay, Tyson with 2 more points. Okay, number eight.
Chris Daughtry.
Okay, three more for Chris Daughtry.
Seven.
Number seven.
Nick.
Nick Wilson comes on the board with 4 points. Okay. Number six, they get 5 points.
Coach.
Okay. All right, number five, they get 6 points.
Okay, I'm going, I'm going to break a trend here, but Tony.
Okay, 6 points for Tony. Okay. Number four.
JT.
JT gets 7. Okay. Number three.
Jeremy.
Jeremy gets 8 points. Number two.
Mike Holloway.
Holloway on the board with 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay, and you're number one.
Colby.
Colby? All right, he gets 10. And you did not have Boston Rob. Very interesting. Everyone's silent that she didn't have Boston Rob. All right, Melissa, you're up. Give me number 10.
Okay, but first I got to do a couple of honorable mentions.
Okay.
Honorable mention is Joe Algrim.
Okay.
And Jeremy Collins. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so then my number 10 is Jay Starrett.
Is who?
Jay Starrett.
Jay. Okay, Jay, who's now a regular on the challenge.
Yep.
Okay.
Malcolm Freeberg.
Okay. At number 9.
Ozzy.
Ozzy at 8.
Ozzy.
Okay,
yep.
Ozzy at 8.
Jonathan.
Jonathan at 7.
Yep.
Okay, Rupert? And who you got at 6?
Rupert.
Rupert. You like the non-winners. All right.
I forgot about Rupert.
Number
Ethan?
5?
Ethan.
Ethan gets 6. He's on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 4?
Savage.
Savage.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that one either.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Wow.
Yeah.
Savage on the board with 7. All right, number 3.
Colby.
Colby with some more votes.
Uh-huh.
He gets 8. All right, you got 2 left.
Tony.
Tony at number 2. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, number 1.
And Rob.
Okay. So I've got all yours, and just being very open and honest, I've got my top 4. I got to put the rest of them together. I've got my top 4.
Tim's work. Tim, yeah, he's about ready with his. So.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if I'm trying to see if he's going
to
post it.
All right,
let's
get Tim's while I'm looking at mine.
Okay, I have to admit something, Jim, though.
What?
Didn't have my top 10. I did not have it as
I
you guys
I didn't
were
either.
And everything.
You see, I didn't
I,
either. You
I was,
see what you see what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to put it together right now. I did not have it done. I wanted to listen to everything.
There,
I wanted to listen to everything and then go from there.
And called in. When I sat down, called in, I got on my computer and started looking at all the seasons and picked my favorites from each season and then narrowed it down. So the ones that I really stood out to me the best.
Let's see. I'm adding.
Jim, I originally had Russell at number 10, but as I forgot that he got voted out with an idol around his neck. I completely forgot about that. And as soon as you said that, I'm like, you're gone.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. Yeah, that wasn't very good.
Russell would never be on my top 10.
Like we talked about all night, my first four were really easy. And now it's like, holy crap. Now how do I decide? The first four were easy. Now, Lord, have mercy. Is Tim working on his?
Yeah, he said hang on a moment. He's getting it right now.
Oh, that's contagious, Melissa.
I know. I have been really, the past week or so, not feeling so good. So, yeah.
I know. It's like I was kind of that way last week. And then, I don't know what it's been about the students, but I guess it's, since they know it's towards the end of the school year, they've been pushing every button they can.
Yep.
All right, Jim, you ready?
Yeah, wait, hold on just a second. I've got two left on my list that I'm putting points on. All I got left is number 10. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Catch a puppy by its toe.
I'm going to go right there. Okay. All right, I've got my 10 for whenever we're ready. All right, Tim, what about you?
All right. For
number
10, Tim has Dominic from, what's it called, Ghost Island.
All right, 1 point for Dom.
Number 9, he's got Coach Wade.
Okay, 2 points for Coach Wade. Okay.
Number eight, he's got Penner.
Okay, 3 for Penner. All right, number 7.
Number 7, he's got Wendell.
Okay, 4 for Wendell. All right, number 6.
Number 6, he's got Cochran.
Cochran gets 5. Okay, number 5.
5, he has Yule.
Okay. Number 4?
Number 4, he's got Jeremy.
Okay. Number 3?
Number 3, he's got the OG, Richard Hatch.
Okay, 8. Okay, number 2?
Number 2, he has Boston Rob.
Okay. And number 1?
Number 1, he's got Tony.
Okay. All right.
He said as well, if not for Winners at War, Tony's up there, but not number 1. Yule would be further down, and Wendell wouldn't even be on his list. And he also said an honorable mention goes to Spencer.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. All right. Steve, take over for a minute or two. I'm fixing to pull my Jeff Probst and go tally the votes, and I'll be back with what we come up with as our top 10.
Hey. You what? Have not told us your top 10 yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. Number 10, I have Earl Cole. Number 9, I have Jeremy Collins. Number 8, I have Jonathan Penner. Number 7, I have Coach Wade. Number 6, I have JT. Number 5, I have Cochran. Number 4, I have Yule Kwan. Number 3, I have Richard Hatch. Number 2, I have Boston Rob. And number one, I have Tony.
Okay.
So I did have two non-winners, Penner and Coach. I thought a lot about Chris Daughtry and Tyson, but I don't know. I just didn't go. And you know, and maybe we didn't consider Tom Westman enough. He was really, really good too. But when you're doing this, it's hard if you're just narrowing it down to 10. If you're doing 20, it's a whole lot easier.
Yeah, and another one too that I don't think we talked a lot about was Todd with the fact that normally when you're a winner, you play out from out front. He played from behind in his alliance. And if anything,
Todd played a hell of a game. You guys chat while I do some tallying.
You know, I was kind of shocked actually when I saw Tim's list because of the fact that you know, he's been such a huge advocate for Todd in recent or in past podcasts that we've done, that I'm surprised that Todd wasn't one of the names on his list. And you know, it kind of got me thinking, you know, with Todd pulling off one of the biggest moves, I believe, in honestly Survivor history, the fact that he was able to get James to not use any of his two immunity idols, even though James was sort of feeling uneasy holding on to them as long as he was. I kind of looked at it as, okay, Todd, he has only played once, but how would he fare in a second season? You know, and that's sort of some of the things that we've been looking at with some of these, you know, with some of these rankings. It killed me to not put Penner in my top 10.
Well, I know one that I had on my list, but I ended up taking him off was Ty.
Oh, Ty from Ko Rong.
I
kind of had to pause there and go and be like, Ty, where do I remember a Ty? Yeah, you know, I could kind of see the argument for Ty, you know, maybe being at around like the number 10 spot because of his long stay on both of his seasons that he played, and also because of the fact that, I mean, he basically dismantled the dominant alliance, or the dominant tribe, I should say, being the Braun tribe, by refusing to form the Super Idol. Now, if he had formed the Super Idol that season, and you know, Scott or Jason, I forget who was, it was Scott that was voted out that night. And if Scott had stayed, you know, things could have drastically changed that season. So I think you know, Ty was another one that could have been in consideration as well. But you know, for anybody that's listening, just want to give a little reminder. As Jim mentioned earlier, obviously tonight we did the top 10 males. Next week we'll do the top 10 females, and the week after that we will do the top 10 seasons. And obviously, you know, there's a whole bunch of content that we have in our archives with the Survivor Memories and Big Brother Memories and all the other Memories podcasts, with interviews actually with some of the former cast members from those seasons. So if you guys want to, and you haven't yet, subscribe to the Missy AE podcast on blogtalkradio.com/MissyAE or on iTunes, and I believe it's also Apple Podcasts, I think, too, that it falls under, by searching Missy AE, and you'll get the opportunity to listen back to some of those podcasts that have actually had some very huge behind the scenes information that I guarantee you not a lot of us knew about.
And you kind of wonder how these ex-survivors that called in, how they even remembered all the stuff going on in their season. But like me,
I don't want to toot my horn, but toot, I kind of know what to ask them.
Hey, I know you. You know what to ask.
All right, this is interesting because we've got a 3-way tie for 10, 9, and 8, 2-way tie for 6 and 7, and then we got a clear cut top 5.
Damn.
So.
Well, I bet $50 I know who number one is.
All right, here we go, and I'm gonna give you the point totals, so you'll see if it was close, for certain spots. Like I said, 8, 9, and 10 is a 3-way tie. 17 points, 3-way tie for 8, 9, and 10. The three players are John Cochran, Coach Benjamin Wade, and Jonathan Penner.
Huh.
So there is 8, 9, and 10. Now, the next two, 6 and 7, is a 2-way tie with 19 points, Jeremy and Colby Donaldson. Mm-hmm. Number 5 with 20 points, just 1 point more than Jeremy and Colby, is Yule Kwan. Number 4 with 23 points is JT, James Thomas. Number 3 with 32 points is Richard Hatch. Number 2 with 46 points is Boston Robb. And number 1 with 55 points is Tony Vlachos. Honorable mention, Earl Cole had 6, Tyson had 10, Chris Daughtry had 6, Mike Holloway had 9, Nick had 4, Ethan 6, Wendell 4, Jay had 1. Terry Dietz 1, Ozzy 3, Dom 1, Rupert 5, Savage 7, and Malcolm 2. Oh, yeah, and Earl Cole 6. So that's what we came up with, people. What do you think? Is it a good list?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, yes, it's a good list.
Yeah, definitely. I think from being able to analyze everything tonight, I think we compiled together a pretty solid top 10. Though I am kind of surprised though that Colby, where was Colby ranked, 6 or 7?
Colby was in a tie for 6 and 7 with Jeremy.
Yeah, They both had 19 points.
So we do have, you know, when we started looking at this, we were wondering, that was one of the questions, do you have to win to make this list? And obviously you don't, because we had Coach, Penner, and Colby. Three of the 10 spots are people that didn't win. And it was kind of like I said, the top three spots were pretty much never in doubt. It was after that where, okay, who's going to be four? You know, who's going to be four? Is that going to be Ewell? Is that going to be JT, Jeremy? Who's that going to be? So kind of the top three were pretty solid, and then it gets into the debate after that. And JT comes in at four. He beat Ewell by 3 points. Ewell was number five. And that may have had something to do with Ewell's performance in Winners at War. Because if you just go by the season he won, he's probably top four, at least. But you throw in Winners at War, and maybe he drops down a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I had JT ranked where I had him ranked, mainly because I probably would have had him higher. He didn't fall for Russell's for the whole thing about, you know, the men being picked off and Russell being in trouble, and also just his disastrous outing he had on Game Changers.
Yeah. Right. So, any comments like, I can't believe they made it, or I can't believe so-and-so didn't make it?
I'm surprised. No, actually, I'm not surprised. Never mind.
You can say it, you know. I mean, you're going to be a podcast host, so you need to get ready to say what you think.
No, I just, I was just kind of shocked that Rupert wasn't mentioned more.
Oh, okay.
But that's just me.
Rupert may be one of those players that a lot of people look at as having so many chances and not ever being able to actually do anything. I mean,
yeah, but I enjoyed him every single time.
Entertainment-wise, yeah, he checks that box. Being likable, yeah, he checks that box. But strategy-wise, on challenges, he checks the box. But strategy-wise and total outcome, he falls a little short there. Maybe that's what some people looked at. I don't know, you know.
A lot of people kind of blame
Rupert because one season that he didn't win, he won America's Favorite, and he got $1 million even though he didn't win. And maybe a lot of people hold that against him, you know.
Well, I think he deserved it. I don't care. He's just one of my faves.
I think another thing people might look at too is the fact that, you know, he decided to switch with his wife and basically agree to go home first, essentially. And
I know a lot of people look at that as like being stupid, but I'm just going to tell you, I would have done the same thing if that was me and JJ. I would have done the same thing. So, I mean, that's his wife. Come on.
Yeah.
He's played before and she hasn't. I mean, if that's me and I've played a couple of times and my wife hasn't, I'm going to leave and let her play. I mean, we all know how I play in a Whispers game if JJ's playing. You don't mess with her.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
I get that. I don't really knock him for that. I get that. I think he gets more criticism because of his overall finishes and that he got that $1 million when he didn't even win. You know, a lot of fans don't like that.
Well, that's their problem.
A lot of fans have heard what I said about him on All-Stars and what he said during or right after doing a confessional. He had broke down in tears on his confessional about missing his family, missing his wife and everything. Then he went back to camp laughing, and he told everybody, well, that ought to get a few fan favorite votes.
I think one player that definitely got affected tonight was Ben, because of the fact that even though he had those flashy plays where he would play the immunity idol or his Ben bombs, as he would call them, that, and also he was dragged. Technically, you could say he was dragged during Winners at War, you know, towards the final five or final four, wherever he ended up finishing. You know, I think the fact that, as I mentioned before, a lot of people believe that, first off, he was supposed to be gone on day 38. He wasn't even supposed to have won his original season. But production loved him so much that they decided, hell, let's not make this a vote. Let's go immediately into a fire-making challenge automatically.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the Final Four. And that's basically where that whole trend has started.
Well, I think if we're all honest, each one of us is going to look at this top 10 and they're going to see someone they don't agree with. But that's how we do this. You know, that's how we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Next week and the week after, it's going to be a combined effort. And a consensus as to what we all think together. So, it may not be year 10, but that's what the collective group of us came up with.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you one thing. The women is definitely going to be a lot harder. I mean,
I agree. I think the women's going to be harder. And I think when we start really looking at the seasons, that's going to be tough, too.
Yeah.
I think the women may be the hardest one we do.
Yeah, there's a lot of stars out of the women to choose from.
A lot that didn't win
exactly.
That should be considered.
Yeah.
You know, like I already said earlier, Ceri is one of them. Stephanie LaGross is one of them. I mean, there's a lot of fantastic. And there's going to be fans of Aubrey that bring her up. So,
Amanda Kimmel.
Yeah. Amanda Kimmel's another great example.
Oh, yeah.
Another Eliza Orleans. There's a lot of women that didn't win. Natalie Bolton. A lot of women that didn't win that should be considered. And it's like with the women, are you going to go OG with somebody like Tina, Jenna? Are you going to come up to, like, Kim Spradlin, somebody like that, you know? So it should be a lot of fun next week and probably a bigger debate than tonight was. I think, like I said, going into it, I think tonight everyone probably knew who the top three or four would be. And then it was kind of like everything else was up in the air. And I think that's how it played out, you know. I think everybody was pretty sure about their top three or four.
Yeah, I mean, maybe things might be different if Winners at War had ended differently. I think maybe there would have been more of a discussion, like, okay, maybe the same top three would be the same, but maybe in a different order.
Another female I didn't bring up was Sarah Lucina. Where is she going to stand in all of this? And what about Vesepia? Is she going to get any credit or still going to be ignored?
Yeah, that is one of the travesties that has befallen Survivor, is the fact that she still has not gotten a second chance yet, or a chance at another season.
Right. So, I mean, you know, put on your thinking caps and don't just look at winners. Look at other females for next week, and have your talking points ready to debate and bring up someone as to why you think they deserve in the top 10. Or maybe there's someone that you know everybody's going to vote for and you don't think they should be in the top 10. You know, be ready next week with the females.
Yep, and I'll have that. I'll have the advertisement ready tomorrow too, so we can start advertising the females one. It's Thursday, yep. Right?
Yeah, and it's highly likely next Friday will be another JoJo podcast, including Gina Marie. That's highly likely for next Friday.
All right, I will mark that down.
Did Gina lose her puppy?
Yes, that was the bad news. I've been posting everywhere today that JoJo put off the release of the video for a week because of I actually told you guys in the mods. I told you it was because of a loss that Gina Marie had. She didn't feel like trying to promote this video this week with what Gina Marie was going through. Yeah, she lost her dog. So, hopefully by next Friday, you know, everything will be a little better, and we'll have JoJo and Gina Marie both, and we'll talk about the release of the video. Because JoJo's holding it back for a week because of that. Which I think
that was
nice of her. I think that's very cool of JoJo to do that. You know, she put her friend first instead of herself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I ended up purchasing the thing right as the song became available last Friday.
Yeah. I talked to JoJo two or three times today about all of this, and that's why I posted in mods. I wanted, you know, I thought there would be eyes open, like, okay, what happened with the video? I wanted you guys to know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if I'd mentioned Gina Marie was dealing with a loss, everyone would figure out what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
I remember JoJo had mentioned something about
her dog. For those of you who have pets, you know they're part of your family, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we just had to put ours down on April Fool's Day, no less.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very tough.
We've got little shit, and little shit's just like having another child, you know. I've had to put one down before, Steve. I understand what you went through. I mean, oh, my God, I hate to do that, but it was best.
Yep.
He had gotten so old, he couldn't even, you know, he used to always jump up on the sofa, and he couldn't even do that anymore. You had to pick him up and move him, and he just barely got around. It was, you know, we took him to the vet, and they were just telling us, you know, there's really, really nothing else we can do. and they kind of suggested you might want to consider, because, you know, he's in pain now. He's, you know, he
his
don't
quality
feel he's
of
in
life
pain.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. And so you have to make that decision. It hurts like hell, but you don't want them to suffer. You don't want them to be in pain.
Yeah, I know. I lost my dog and my mom within 2 weeks of each other. So it was like a double whammy.
That sounds like me and my parents, Melissa. I lost my dad, and 6 weeks later, I lost my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, it was weird because I was visiting my mom's house, and I didn't know yet. I walked in my mom's kitchen. We were sitting at the kitchen table, and she said, "I got to tell you something." I said, "What?" I figured it was something about one of my brothers or whatever, you know. And she said that they had called her and my dad had passed away. And then it was like 6 weeks later, she was gone. It was like, wow. I mean, this is, you know. But
yeah,
you get through it. You know, it's hard as hell, but you get through it, you know. You don't forget, but it does get a little easier with time, but you never forget.
Right, exactly.
You always think about it. It's like with JJ's mom, you know. We always think about her and my mom on Mother's Day. And then we think about my dad on Father's Day and their birthdays. You know, it's you never, ever forget.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to try to move on. You have to try to keep going, you know. So, yeah. I mean, the main thing with us is, you know, with my mom and my dad both gone, is our kids don't have those grandparents on my side.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, they've got really good aunts and uncles and cousins, so they're okay. But, and, you know, we bring them up. We show them pictures. And we talk. So, but, yeah, that's what happened with Gina Marie. So she, you know, that's why she missed last week's pod, was because her dog was sick. That's why she had to miss last week.
Yeah.
And then this week, She loses her dog, so. But we got about 8 minutes left before the overtime hour. If anybody wants to bring up anything about this top 10 list, or you want to look a little bit ahead to the females or seasons and start getting your points in about why you think it should be so-and-so, I mean, you know, the floor is open, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay.
Therese, I can't believe you're not taking the floor. You must have us on mute again.
No, she disconnected, actually.
Oh.
Oh, she did.
Uh-oh. Yeah, she left about 7 minutes ago or so.
Yeah.
She still got a chance to call in.
Yeah, we got about 7 minutes left. About 7 minutes.
Wow. Was it something we said?
This time tonight, debating the male players like this, the time really kind of flew by. I think next week's is going to be even more interesting with the females. Who was better? Who was better, Kim Spradlin or Sarah Lucina? Where does Michelle Fitzgerald rank? What about Tina Wesson and Vesipia?
You know, I didn't like.
You know, it's,
I didn't like them. They weren't my
Amber. And Amanda Kimmel, where did she fit in?
How much credit is Amber going to get as opposed to did Rob really win that season for her? Is Amber going to get any credit? What about Natalie Anderson? She had a really horrible first appearance, and then she wins, and then, you know, it's debatable about her last appearance. Was that good or bad that she lasted a long time outside the game?
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't like that twist. I don't like that. What about Sandra? Can you rank Sandra number one after she basically quit?
I wouldn't make her number one. You make the argument,
hey, she won twice. But then if you go back and look at how she won and then you look at how she quit, it's like, is that the best? We're going to say that's the best female? I mean, it's going to be really interesting next week.
Obviously a huge sticking point, obviously, is the fact that she, you know, she started off her Survivor career 2-for-2. And the fact that, you know, we talked about earlier tonight whether or not challenges would play a part. I mean, she's probably one of the worst women in terms of challenge performance.
Out of all the players
that would be in the discussion, you know.
That's true. I mean, part of her strategy was to try to sit out challenges.
Yeah, as long as it ain't me, basically.
Yeah. So, you know, and there's Danny Boatwright. You got to bring her up. And next week, I guarantee you next week will be a lot harder than tonight was. And I expect the final tally to be a lot closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
All right, we got about 4 minutes left, people. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be in the overtime hour because got something going on here. I got an early flight tomorrow, so I got to go. It's not that I have to pack. I have to go double check it what JJ packed for me because she does my packing.
Where are you flying to?
I'm flying to Miami, so. I have to double-check. And, you know, there's another one. As soon as I said Miami about the women next week, that reminded me of two more people, Brenda Lowe and Andrea Vogel. Neither one ever won, but they're both known as being very good players.
Good eye candy,
yeah,
too.
That's why for the women, it's going to be a lot harder for the women.
Yeah,
not, you know,
and two females I've been very close with. So I remember when they played together, it just ripped me apart, you know, especially when they started going after each other. I was like, God, I don't even think I can watch this. That's my two girls right there. I don't it was horrible. All right, 2 minutes left, people.
Yeah.
If you're going to get in, you need to get in. If not,
that means you,
if
Tim.
Not, make sure you're here next week when we debate the top 10 females of all time on Survivor. And the following week, the top 10 seasons. We're getting closer and closer and closer to where Big Brother's going to start this summer, and Big Brother's going to take over the podcast. And then Survivor will return more than likely in September, is my guess. Maybe October.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What days are we going to be doing the podcast for Big Brother?
We try to do the Big Brother podcast on the nights they don't have live things going on. Only on the nights where it's like, you know, recaps. Or a night they're not even on. That's the best.
Yeah,
That'll be up to you and Steve, but it does not work well if you try to do one on the night of the live eviction, unless you can unless you can do it right afterwards. Right afterwards, that works.
Yeah. Yeah, I
don't know if I
want to
do that, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's up to y'all. I mean, that's up to you and him. It's your podcast. It's whatever you think. It's your little baby, and, you know, I'm just going to watch it grow. I'll call in a few times, but, you know, it's going to be your thing.
Yeah, and obviously I'll be the one handling the switchboard and everything. So, you know, I'll be getting whatever callers end up calling in.
Right.
Right,
and tonight it's like you probably can't tell, but Steve was operating the board tonight. We've done this so many times together. And you'll end up like that, Melissa. He'll mention somebody, he'll speak to somebody or something, and you'll know, oh, okay, they're on. You make a little note, write your little name down, and you know to come back to them and ask them something. You know, keep them involved. You know, just keep up with who's on there. I know Kansas will be on there because she loves calling in for Big Brother chats.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised she didn't call in tonight.
Yeah,
she
me
may
too.
Not have seen it. She may not have seen it.
And by the way,
and I didn't contact her. I didn't contact her. I mean, I didn't promote this week as much as I usually promote a week. So,
Tim missed the cutoff point. He said. He just texted me or just messaged me right now saying, I was waiting for 10:59 like usual. Then, of course, my attention drifts and I missed the cutoff. And I said, nice job, Tim B.
That's what he gets for waiting for the last minute.
And I'm surprised Eddie didn't call.
Yeah, I guess maybe he didn't, you know. Eddie's more into, like, when you have guests or when it's a spoiler show, or a show after, the regular show that week. He's more into that. I don't know that he would get into these polls and debates and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought it'd be pretty cool to do this, though. You know, it blocks off 3 weeks. We get to debate a lot of players and ideas and thoughts and come up with a list. And we should publish this list in Whisper Steve, this top 10, as to what we came up with. And then, like I said, I think the female list is going to be a much, much bigger debate.
Yeah.
And then I think Seasons is going to be a debate too.
Yeah, and no, it's not going to be based off of looks for the top 10 with the women. I know that topic was brought up earlier tonight.
So you mean I'm going to
be about look.
You mean I can't put Angie number one, Brenda number two, and Andrea number three? I can't do that.
well, you know if
Steve, your correct answer is if you want to sleep on the couch, go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, if they were playing for cookies, Angie would definitely be number one. But
she's a sweetheart. You know, everybody knows she's pregnant again, right?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, she's pregnant again. She's got a little boy, and she's pregnant again. I'm not going to spoil what the sex is, but she was married and divorced from the father of her first son, her first child, and now she's married again, and they're expecting her second child.
Oh, wow.
And spoiler, her first little boy's middle name is James. And don't think my wife didn't ask me about that.
You didn't have anything to do with that, did you?
Andy's just a sweetheart. She's just a sweet girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's one of those that when she left the show, she just went to work. You know, she went out and made her own brand, went out and made money, you know, modeling and doing the influencer stuff. And you know, she just, you know, left it behind. You know, she moved on. And that's what I suggest to the ones that I talk to. And she's really good at that. She owns her own cosmetic line. So she's doing good.
That's good.
But I don't think she'll be on anybody's top 10. Not unless I put her at 10 just to get her 1 point. And I can't even see myself doing that. Because there's too many others. There's too many other good female players. You know?
Yeah, there's a whole... It's definitely going to be a lot harder selecting from the women as opposed to selecting from the men.
Yeah. Anybody got anything going on this week they want to talk about?
What?
Well, I said, does anybody have anything going on this week they want to talk about?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. Not me, anyway.
Well,
yeah.
I'm
going to ask if anybody else has seen this. Because Megan, you know, I think everyone knows who Megan is. She's like my adopted daughter. You know, her mom's in Sports Whispers, Jen. She retweeted something today from a governor, and I don't know what state he's governor over, but on Wednesday nights, they're having a drawing every Wednesday night to people that have been vaccinated, and they'll draw one name every Wednesday night, and they'll win $1 million.
From the governor Mike DeWine of Ohio.
Yeah, it's DeWine of Ohio, yeah.
So that's real. That's legit.
Yes.
That's legitimate, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Talk
it's
about
to,
trying to get people to get that vaccine. I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good gracious. Well, now we can get little JJ and Jenna vaccinated.
I ended up getting my first on my night of debauchery, and then I'm scheduled to have my second on the 28th. Luckily,
I'm
I got the Pfizer
vaccinated.
So, Steve, how's the school situation there now?
Everybody's fully back. They still have the option for those that have been on remote to stay remote for the rest of the year. But for the most part, everybody that is, you know, that was going A day, B day,
they've all combined together, and now everybody's going every day now. So, I mean, we still have, you know, obviously we still have to wear masks until Governor Baker ends up lifting the restriction for indoor mask wearing. But we still don't know, actually, you know, when it comes to those who are fully vaccinated, whether or not they'll still have to wear a mask, or if, because I know the CDC said today
I think what they're doing is they're not mandating it, but I think they're strongly suggesting, even if you've been vaccinated, to continue wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what
indoors.
They've encouraged.
I know
Fauci
made a statement today that if you've been fully vaccinated, you can take your mask off if you're outside, as long as you're not in close contact with a lot of people.
Yeah.
That you're not falling all over each other and stuff. But other than that, he thinks that you'll be safe not wearing a mask outside if you're fully vaccinated.
Well, and I know a lot of the sports stadiums are opening back up.
Yep, Fenway is back up to 25% now for, I believe it just went into effect a couple of days ago, actually, I think.
Yeah, I know it's been weird this year, and I know I posted about this in Sports Whisper, Steve, but there's been four times this season that the Razorbacks baseball team has played on the road that the other team decided to open up to full capacity.
It's like the
school is saying, come on, we need all the help we can get.
And it still won't be enough.
Yeah, it's happened four times to the Razorbacks that the other team decided, okay, it's time to open it up to everybody.
Jeez. And speaking of sports, the sports pot, for those who may listen in to this show before Saturday night, the sports pod will be back this week. I've already told Lou about it, so he'll be joining me. I had my one fun night of drunken debauchery where I downed an entire Jack Daniels.
Well, my brother tested me and said that the Avs are doing really good. Colorado Avalanche.
Oh yeah, the Avalanche. Yeah, the you know what, that's another thing that we're going to be talking about is the NHL playoffs are set to take place starting this Saturday. So the Avalanche are actually in the running for the President's Trophy, which goes to the top team in the team with the most points in the entire league. So
yeah, they're so far they're winning tonight, I think. At least the last time I got updated.
Yeah, 5-1. It's not even close right now. Colorado basically has tonight's game in the bag. I know. Wait a minute. Actually, I think they may hold the tiebreaker with Vegas. So, assuming there's no catastrophic collapse tonight, Colorado may actually get the.
My brother said that they'd be number one if they won tonight.
I don't know about UJB or if Tariq, I think she left, but all this hockey talk just goes right over my head.
Well, see, I'm not really the one into hockey. My girlfriend was really into hockey, and I would actually go to, like, the dinners and stuff that they would have and meet the players and get their autographs.
Yeah.
And I would get them from my husband. My husband, that's pretty much the only sport that he'd watch. But
our
satellite, our dish, dropped altitude, so my husband can't even watch the games.
Wow.
He can't even watch the Avalanche. He can watch all the other games, but he can't watch Avalanche. And that's because altitude raised the prices so high that Dish had to drop them. So
I know the only hockey games I've been to were in Memphis. They used to have what I guess they call a minor league hockey team. Like it was the Memphis River Kings. They drew great crowds. And they promoted it really well because what they promoted was beer, babes, and brawls. And they sold beer and they have girls skating around during timeouts or whatever, and then they'd have the damn fights, the brawls. And that's what we went for was, you know, to watch the fight. That's what we wanted to see. I had no idea what the hell was going on. I don't even understand the rules.
That's what most people go for. That's what most people go for.
I just wanted to see the fights.
It's
the only sport where the referees just back up and say, hey, go for it. Fight each other. And then they'll step in later, you know. They just let you fight.
Jim, that's how it used to be. Now because of a whole bunch of concussions that have happened over the past couple of years, now all of a sudden the league is like, oh no, we gotta protect our athletes. As soon as you see a fight potentially happening, try to break it up as quickly as possible. I mean, there's been times where players have dropped the gloves and they're trying to size each other up. And then the refs would immediately break them up. I mean, it's some of the most idiotic bullshit I've ever seen out of a sport.
Yes, I remember when we go and watch. I mean they let them fall. I mean they'd even be swinging the damn sticks at each other. they'd hit each other in the head with the sticks. I mean it was like WWE meets hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to change the subject.
Hey, Jim,
I got I-40 bridge. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Melissa.
Well, I was going to say that I-40 bridge from Arkansas into Tennessee is closed down. Did you see that?
What about Arkansas and Tennessee closing down?
It's from Arkansas to Tennessee. That's the I-40 bridge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's got a big crack in it.
In fact, I didn't notice if JJ posted today or not. She's got a picture of that. She's got a picture that she was going to post.
Crack?
Because,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, we've been across that bridge. I can't tell you how many times. And it's really, really affecting everything because that Interstate 40 that leads into Memphis, it's known as Trucker Alley. I mean, 18-wheelers, they burn that interstate up, and now they're having to detour and go around. And this will be a spoiler because I know this is what she's going to do when she's going to post it. She's got the picture saved with the crack. She's got the picture saved. And she's going to tell everybody, when I showed this to Jim, he said, well, that's going to take a lot of damn duct tape.
Yep.
Yeah, really.
If
she posts that picture, you know what she's going to say, because she already told me.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if she did it today or not. I don't think she's been online today. I haven't noticed her posting.
I didn't see her.
But I don't know how long it'll take them to fix that.
Well, they said the temporary fix is going to be at least 2 months.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my
God.
It's
going to
be,
well,
it's
at
gonna
least
be a
for
long
us,
one.
At least for us, if we go to Memphis from here, we can go through Mississippi and go up the highway there and don't you have to cross a bridge. We come up on the other side of Memphis, but we don't have to do the bridge. Normally that would be the way we go, though. They do have another bridge there. I guess it's still operating. It's off of I-55. The one you're talking about is off I-40, right by the pyramid.
Yeah.
But they do have one that you can take I-55, but it's an old bridge, only two lanes. So I'm sure the traffic's really, really backed up if people are taking that one. If we go up there now for anything, we'll just go through Mississippi and not even, you know, we'll just stay on the highway and not even take the interstate.
Yeah.
And I heard that's what a lot of truckers are doing. I heard a lot of truckers are cutting across and coming through like and going across the Helena West Helena Bridge and taking Highway 61 from Mississippi up through to get to Memphis. Or, you know, because they have to, in Memphis they have to either, you know, try to hit 40 or 55. Again, so, I'm sure it's a big pain in the ass. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that thing cracked like that. I saw the picture JJ's got, and it's a pretty serious crack. And she said she heard them on the news saying when they inspected it and they saw it, they stopped and said, immediately get everyone off this bridge.
Yep.
Because it's right, it's above the Mississippi River. So, yeah, I guess
hey, Jim,
I guess that story went more than local.
Hey Jim, don't look now, but Garrett Richards has won 3 straight.
I'm telling you the best thing they did in the offseason was bring Alex Cora back. I'm telling you.
What did you eat?
Six innings tonight, no runs allowed, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. His ERA is now 3.89.
So
it went under four.
And the good thing for them is they're gonna get Chris Sale back pretty soon.
Yeah. And they're finally starting to get hitting from players like Hunter Renfroe, Bobby Dalbec. He had another homer tonight. Plus, they got Jaron Duran hitting absolute bombs.
They're gonna have to keep him on the roster. They're just gonna have to.
There's a lot of people that they can toy with on potentially calling up if they need to with what they have going down in the minors right now. What's it called? That first baseman they got out of high school a couple of years ago, Tristan Casas, he's now hitting bombs at Double A like it's nothing.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. After Dom left, it's taken a few seasons of suffering to build up the minors again and build up your system how you should do it, you know, and not just go out and sign a ton of free agents, bring up your own players, develop your own players. I mean, that's how they did it with Bogarts and Devers and Benny when they had JBJ. I mean, that's that Vasquez, that's how they did it, you know, and it worked. And then, of course, when Dom comes in, he's, to hell with that, I'm going to go sign every big name I can sign. I don't care if it is Sandoval.
They just blasted the Athletics 8-1 tonight.
Yeah.
And Oakland, well, actually, believe it or not, there's
talk
that.
They got the best record. They got the best record. Who would have ever thought that?
Yeah. There's talk that Oakland may actually move to Vegas and follow the Raiders.
What I read was they were going to move to Montreal.
Well, if they use that old stadium, I could see that.
Yeah, you know, where they had the Montreal Expos. That's what I read. But Vegas would make sense, you know, since the Raiders moved there, it would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, they did do the Major League Baseball did do that scouting. I think it was either last year or the year before. It was probably the year before because of COVID last year. Where they had the Tampa Bay Rays, I think, play in Montreal for like a game or two to see what what the fan response would be.
Yeah. Well, they ought to make Tampa Bay move. They ought to make Tampa move too because nobody goes to their games, and they normally have a decent team.
Yeah, anybody that goes to sports events in Tampa, they go to either see the Tampa Bay Lightning play hockey or the Buccaneers play football.
Yeah.
They don't go to see the Rays.
I guess Saturday night you guys will be talking about Brady's return to Gillette Stadium too.
Oh, yeah, not just that, but also Brady's dad deciding to call into Boston radio today and basically basically say how there's literally no shot in hell of the Patriots potentially upsetting the Buccaneers.
He definitely stoked the fires. Here's the thing I think about that. I mean, Tampa's probably going to have more talented players. Of course, Brady's the best of all time. But if there's a coach that would know how to defend Tom Brady, it would be Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And not just that, but also – there's the possibility that Brady could be chasing a record that night or that week.
Yeah,
I forget exactly what it is.
That will probably be the most watched game of the season.
Probably, yeah. I know it'll definitely be the most watched game in New England, at least because. Tickets are going at Gillette. At Gillette, tickets are going for as low as $1,400 for the 250.
notice he said as low as.
As low as, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder about the
You don't even know what's going to be happening by then. Week four. You know, Mac Jones may be the quarterback by then. You don't know which team's going to suffer injuries. You know, you're just looking at it right now as two healthy teams going against each other, and that don't happen in the NFL very often.
No, it doesn't. And I'm hearing too that they may the reason why they didn't draft a wide receiver until very late is that. Gunnar Olszewski apparently may take Julian Edelman's spot as the slot receiver.
Hmm. Well, I saw there was some defensive back that Belichick was interested in today. I think he was former number one draft pick from Bama. I think he played for the Bengals.
Yeah, Dre Kirkpatrick.
You know, Belichick loves Bama players. He loves SEC players.
Yeah, and I mean, he did say when – because they showed video of him speaking with Mac Jones the night that they drafted him. And he said, well, there's going to be a lot of Crimson Tide around here, so you'll fit right in. So I wouldn't be shocked if they end up bringing in Kirkpatrick as somewhat of insurance if they decide to
to move on from Gilmore potentially in a trade.
Yeah.
Don't forget who
they after they got their quarterback and I think they had a good draft. Not so sure they just don't keep Gilmore now.
Well, the thing is, they're going to have to pay Gilmore more money then, because Gilmore is not going to agree to play for only $7
million. Yeah. I don't know how much money I know they spent a lot of money. I don't know how much they had left. But if he saved enough, they may give him the money.
I would, because he's still one of the top. Even though he had a down year last year, he's still one of the top corners in the game. I would give him the money any time.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the important positions on a New England defense are the corners. You know, because they like to play one-on-one defense and try to get pressure and depend on their DBs to cover people one-on-one. They don't like to double up. They don't like to play zone. They like to play one-on-one. And Gilmore can do that.
And plus they won big, too, by only giving the second-round tender to J.C. Jackson. So they didn't have to pay him big money this year. They're only giving him about $3 million, which is actually a lot lower than what he had been.
Yeah,
and it's
debatable as to whether – maybe he's good as Gilmore.
Yeah. That's what a lot of analysts talked about all season long. The better that Jackson performed this year, a lot of analysts were wondering around the league. I believe they discussed it on the NFL Today on CBS, was whether or not Jackson had passed Gilmore on the depth chart.
Yeah, I sort of think in Belichick's mind, he has. And I think that's why all the talk came up about maybe Gilmore being moved, was because Belichick had his new guy. He had his new lockdown corner with Jackson. I think that's why all that trade talk came up.
I mean, the guy had 9 picks this year. It's kind of hard to ignore that, you know.
Yeah, and of course Gilmore's agent would say, "Well, he got 9 picks because everybody's scared to throw at my guy."
Well, his guy was also partially injured this year too. So
yeah, he had a rough
season.
He was out a lot. He was out a lot. So,
and I've been talking with my coworkers too about Edelman. They seem to think that this is all just a ploy for Edelman to basically get away from Belichick, so that he could then, down the line, as the season goes on, come out of retirement and sign with Tampa, not with his knee, not with the way his knee is.
I don't know. You know, I think he's the only way that I really think the only way they would do that is if Brady walked in and said, "Do it." I think he's so injured and such damaged goods, I just can't see him putting him on the roster, because you're wasting
all
a spot.
All you got to do, Jim, is look at Dustin Pedroia.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's the exact same situation.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you want to go through that? Hell no. That drove us nuts on the Red Sox. But I really think Edelman's done. You know, if they want to put him on the roster, good for them. But I don't think you're going to get much out of him. They've already got great receivers.
Yeah, he would basically only be on the roster just to have a chance at another ring and barely get used.
He would be fourth or fifth on the depth chart.
Huh.
Probably, actually.
They're loaded. They're loaded. They don't need Edelman. He's not going to bring nothing to the table except being buddies with Brady.
And plus, they re-signed Brown this offseason, too. So, you know, there's not really...
Yeah, they went out and signed all their guys they wanted to bring back. They brought them back.
Yeah.
So...
And I got some challenge news. Apparently, this season of the challenge, I still don't understand why they're doing this now every single season. But apparently, at least before quarantine, they had them grouped up in duos.
Well, I've kept up with it. I know who's been eliminated. I know who they brought back. I know about the filming stopping because of COVID. I know a lot about it. I know Michaela's out from Survivor. Michelle's still in it, which is hard to believe, but...
And I nailed that on the button when we talked about the challenge last time. I said that Michaela it was probably her attitude that got her booted early.
Yeah, it probably was. It probably was. I mean, she's a hell of a athlete, and you would think she'd be really good at this show, but her attitude and her mouth always gets her in trouble.
Yeah, she probably pissed off the decision makers, those who have the big alliances.
Right. So, I don't know. It sounds like they've had Sounds like they've had a rough season with having to take a break because of COVID, having to let somebody leave because they had COVID, but yet, when they get okay, they bring them back. Sounds like it's been a really crazy season so far.
Yeah, it's really weird with how they planned for this originally last season. If something were to have happened, I know they have alternates on location. Amber, apparently, the champion from last season. And from Big Brother 16 is one of the alternates in case one of the women ends up leaving.
Yeah, Amber from Big Brother that won last season is an alternate.
There's other people she just won. It's probably because people probably saw her as boring on the show because.
I don't know how a man can look at her and think she's boring.
Plus,
if you keep up with her on social media, she's very outspoken. She don't hold back her opinions about things.
And it's probably, too, that they're looking at who... at their regulars that they would have. They would have their regulars this season, plus they wanted to fit in some newbies like Michaela and Michelle for the women, that if they were to have put Amber on, they would have had to cut probably Michaela or Michelle from the
I am actually shocked Michelle's still there. She must be working her social magic.
Well, if what I'm reading is true, she has actually a pretty strong partner.
So
that could be helping her big time.
Yeah. Does anybody else, Michelle, anybody else out there, you guys watch the challenge?
JB disconnected.
What about Melissa?
You, me, and Melissa. Yeah, Melissa's okay. out there.
Melissa, do you watch the challenge on MTV?
No, not typically. I think the last time I watched is when Victor was on, and when he got off, I stopped watching. But I had planned to try to watch the Michaela's season.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, last season, Amber from Big Brother won.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't really a fan of hers.
I don't know why. She's the one that Caleb screwed her whole game up by basically stalking her on Big Brother.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's not hard. It's not easy to win the challenge, so that's an achievement for her.
Yeah.
And what were you saying? She's an alternate for this season, and the way it's gone, they've had to shut down for COVID, had to let someone go, and then while they were shut down, then they get okay and they let them come back. It's been crazy with the filming schedule this season.
An alternate if
Amber can still get on it for Zoe. But Michaela from Survivor's already been eliminated real early. Steve and I were talking about it. It's probably not her skills. It was probably her mouth, you know.
Probably. I know.
Michelle is still there and in a pretty good spot. So you just never know. You never know. Because I would have thought this show really suited Michaela. But I would have thought it did not at all suit Michelle. And look at what's happened so far, you know.
And I got to tell you, if that first girl that was eliminated if she didn't come back, because I know it's iffy right now whether she came back or whether she was officially sent home. If she
I heard she came back.
Because I was going to say, if she got sent home, that is a gigantic first boot.
Right,
for the women.
Right. But I heard she came back. And I think if you're the show and you had the COVID stuff going on and you have this player leave in the middle of it, if you're the show, you're going to probably let her come back.
Yeah. And as far as the alternates go, basically the alternates are there if somebody gets disqualified for, like, fighting, for throwing punches, or if
they
get medically disqualified.
Yeah, right.
So for all we know, one of those alternates could have potentially, you know, maybe the person who got COVID hasn't even been named yet, and you know maybe one of those alternates has been put into the game already, and it just hasn't been leaked yet.
Yeah. Could be.
Entirely possible.
Yeah. The source that I follow on this show, they're pretty good though. They get good information. It's usually legit.
Yeah, the one that I follow was from a site that I used to be a part of before I even came to Whispers, and I follow
them on Instagram is where I follow them, and actually Raquan is the one that told me about them because Raquan's really into this show, and he told me, he said, look, that this person's information is usually right, so you might want to follow it.
And, you know, he always checks with me when he reads spoilers on the challenge and stuff. He always comes to me and says, all right, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm reading. Is it okay if I post it? He always asks. He always asks if he can post it or not.
Yeah. But Jim, I got to tell you, the OG season that is on Paramount Plus right now, it's gotten very interesting, especially with now. I think next week's episode will be the final. They got two episodes left, so the final is going to be split into two episodes, I guess. There's been a lot of drama on the All-Stars cast, even though they're older. You know, they're not exactly the young, the spring chickens that they were years ago on the challenge.
Right.
But
I saw an interesting show coming up on Bravo in 2022. I think it was 2022. I don't think it was the end of this. It may have been the end of this year. I don't know. You know, they do a summer house show where they put all these people in the house in the summer, you know, kind of like Big Brother, but you don't vote nobody out. You just watch drama all summer play out. And, of course, you know, they have that show called Southern Charm that's based out of Charlotte over in the Carolinas. They're going to combine the two. They're going to take people from Summer House and people from Southern Charm and put them in the same vacation lodge in the winter together.
Huh.
So
they're basically doing their own version of the challenge, except without challenges. And basically,
yeah,
almost like Big Brother with them.
Unless they add a wrinkle where people can get voted out on Summer House and Southern Charm, you don't leave, you know, unless you just quit or you get kicked out.
Yeah.
So, I doubt that it will have that element to it. I think they'll just want to combine these two casts together and see how they get along in a house together while vacationing in the winter, in the snow.
Huh.
So, I mean, we'll watch it. I mean, we watch Summer House. We watch Southern Charm. We watch Below Deck. We watch a lot of those Bravo shows. Bravo is kind of like VH1 used to be, Steve. You remember when VH1 used to have really good reality shows?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
Bravo.
Back with the, celeb reality block, as they used
right.
to call it.
Right, you know, Surreal Life, all that kind of stuff. Rock of Love,
yeah.
Flavor Love, all that kind of stuff. It was really good.
Yeah.
Now Bravo does that, but it's not as racy as what VH1 used to do. It's more PG-13.
Well, that kind of sounds right for Bravo, especially considering they're probably looking at other networks, you know, and seeing where, you know, what people are interested in, what has drawn people away from certain shows. And plus it reaches
yeah.
a broader audience too for it being PG as opposed to, you know, PG-13
yeah.
or something like that.
Plus, you know, on Bravo they got Andy Cohen does his show at night where he brings on guests and they recap reality shows, and I think that's pretty popular. You know, I think
yeah.
Andy Cohen's a huge part of Bravo. You know, like him or not, a lot of people like him, a lot of people don't. but I think he's in really big at Bravo.
Yeah, Bravo and also CNN whenever he's partying drunk with Anderson Cooper.
With Anderson Cooper.
I mean, you want to talk about wasted this year. This year, they were on a whole entire different stratosphere. And I'm shocked that CNN actually kept them on the air.
Yeah, Steve, if they showed that video on Jeopardy, the answer would be, who are two gay guys drunk as hell?
Pretty much. I just saw JB said, close my flip phone, Daggett. We'll be on next week. Nice to hear from all again, and hope to hear you next Thursday.
Yeah, he'll be back next Thursday. JB will be back next Thursday. And he'll probably be one of your loyal followers, Melissa, on your Big Brother podcast.
Good. That's good.
I can't wait
for those to start and just kind of sneak on and listen to you guys without people even knowing I'm there listening.
Yeah, I'd have to double check, but I think I did them on Fridays last time. So obviously, you know, whatever works best for you, Melissa. You know, I'm pretty much going to be
I was thinking Fridays might be the best because it'll be the day after the live show. We'll know who got voted off, and
Steve, isn't that what we did last season?
I'm pretty sure. I'd have to go and check. I have the advertisement still somewhere here.
Yeah.
I think
that's how we did it last season, Melissa. Was we did it the night after the live eviction. Now there were a few times we tried going on immediately after the live eviction, but people are so scattered out at that point trying to, you know, and plus the difference in time zones, a lot of people still haven't even seen it yet. So it's probably smarter to go the next night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Friday.
I think so.
I'm looking at the advertisement right now. You always have to consider
the different time zones. Because you can be on talking about what you just saw on East Coast time, and if you've got callers that want to call in from the West Coast, they're going to call in because they ain't even seen it yet, and they don't want to hear it yet.
Yeah. And that's understandable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. You know, I've always said this, and it's crazy over the years, to do what I do by spoiling shows and stuff, I hate spoilers. Isn't that crazy? I hate to be spoiled. But that's what I've done for so many years, but I hate to be spoiled. I don't want to, I mean, like if one of the wrestling shows is on and I'm recording it, I won't even go to Instagram because I don't want to see the pictures. I want to wait and see it on TV. Or if we're planning to watch a movie or something, anytime somebody brings it up on Twitter or anything, I don't read it because I don't want to know. But yet, that's what I do. You know, I spoil stuff. So it's kind of crazy, but I think that helps in Survivor Whispers, the regular group, because I understand the people that don't want to know, and I make sure
that it's not posted in that group. If you want the spoilers, you go to Premiere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it won't be long. Won't be long. You'll be watching them live feeds.
Yep. Peppers on peppers.
And I would be willing to bet you, I'd be willing to bet you right now it's going to be a great cast because Jesse's doing the casting now, the guy from Survivor. I'll guarantee it's going to be a good cast.
I certainly hope so. I don't want a repeat of 21.
Jesse's really, really good. He's really good.
Good.
I guess he got a big raise. I mean, they got him cast in Survivor. They got him cast in Big Brother. And they got him helping with the casting of Amazing Race. They got him everywhere on CBS.
Good. Well, when you do a good job, you get reward.
Yeah. I mean, that's how good the guy is. He's really, really good. Really good. Aren't they supposed to have like a bigger mix of a cast this summer?
From what I understand, yes.
Yeah. So we'll see how they do that. We'll see if they really do it. I think they probably will. I think they'll probably do it. We'll see how that works out, you know.
They were saying the 50-50 type thing.
Yeah. All right, we've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left, so I'm gonna go ahead and sign off so the Blog Talk lady doesn't get me. And we'll see you good people next Thursday night when we debate the females of Survivor, and then the following week we're going to debate the best seasons ever. Don't forget to join Steve Saturday night on the Sports Whispers podcast. They got a whole lot to talk about this week, and probably next week we're going to probably have JoJo and Gina Marie, so keep an eye out for that.
Yep. Okie doke.
All right, I'm going to talk to everybody later.
Yep. All righty. Good night, Steve. Good night, Jim.
Good night,
Jim and Melissa. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.